Hey, it is 1 o'clock, so we will get started. For the five of you who are on the call, besides our UCA folks, oh, six, good. Seven, great. We're adding more. You guys have almost outnumbered us, which is good. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate you guys and taking the time to jump on the call to be able to update you on where we're at. Let's go to the customers that are on the call and see if there's any questions that any of you have, and then we'll go around the UCA group and give you updates. Does anyone that's called in have any specific questions?
I actually do. This is Jody from UTA. I'm just wondering if you guys might be able to give us a breakdown of, I keep hearing stuff about phase two coming online, and I get questions from my chief about it. I thought we were in phase two already, so I just want to make sure that we are prepared for that, and maybe if there's anything you guys can share about what we need to do to do that.
Yeah, I'll let Phil field that question.
Sure. So I was going to hit this topic anyways. So we were in a mixed phase one, phase two, I guess, scenario or system up until about 2 weeks back, where we switched basically all public safety talk groups to phase one, due to an issue that L3Harris brought up that they found about a race condition where like an end of transmission message could possibly make it to a site before the end of the audio stream. This was all detailed in a newsletter that was sent out. So it sounds like maybe you didn't get that newsletter. If you want to be part of our newsletter, you can sign up on our website and you'll get information surrounding that. But everything's in phase one. It has been for approximately 2-ish, 3-ish weeks. And it's been running fine. Probably better than expected, I would say. And yeah.
Okay, so I am part of that group and I got the newsletter, but I'm wondering, is there anything different we need to do for, phase two that we like qu equipment we need or anything like that that we don't have already? I mean, if we've been mixed phase two and phase one, we should be good, right? Or is there something that I'm missing that we need to make sure we have?
Near term, there's nothing to be done. Your phase two equipment will run at phase one, with no issues. Long term, our plan is still to go to phase two once L3Harris. Well, let me put it this way. Long term, our plan is to bring the state to, a solely phase two condition, where it makes sense. What we found is that it probably doesn't make sense to have phase two in a rural area, but in the cities and, tightly packed urban environments, it does make sense. So long term, all the user equipment hardware needs to be phase two capable so that it can roam between, the different areas and whatnot. And that's the stance we've had for a long time. Basically, any new radios that are brought on the system have to be phase two. They have to be AES capable, and they have to have link layer authentication as far as a feature set goes. And that hasn't changed. And yeah, I'll just reiterate, near term, nothing's changed as far as what you have to do on your radios at all.
Thanks. That helps answer a lot of questions. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Provided that you have phase two capable radios, because you could have been on the mixed mode with on phase one radios only. So, right, Phil?
Yeah, I mean the system was running phase one and phase two and switching between them all day long. And our action a couple weeks back was basically to lock it to phase one. So now everything's running in phase one. But if you have phase one radios, then yeah, I would start planning for cycling them out of use. Typically, if it's a phase one only radio, either you haven't bought the upgrade license to bring it to phase two, or it's such an old radio that they don't want to upgrade it to phase two, they being Motorola or Kenwood or something, one of the vendors. But yeah, the goal should be to get your radios to phase two because it will be, at some point we'll move back to phase two once Harris has addressed this issue, And you know, we want the most capacity out of the system. That's the truth.
Thanks. Yeah, I think we're all ready for that. Just wanted to make sure.
Good question. Thanks, Jody. Are there any other questions from any of our customers? Brian Hall, go ahead.
Hello. Hey, this is Brian Hall from UVU. I just wanted to see if there was any change in any of the simulcast site locations or signal strength in Utah County. We just colloquially have noticed some reduction in signal strength to some of the radios, and I was just wondering if anything had changed. It seemed to coincide with the switch back to phase one, but I don't think there was anything. I didn't read about any changes made. I just wanted to know if that was something that was a known issue.
I'll take that one as well. So it turns out that phase one is actually far more capable mileage wise and building penetration wise, just from a, because it uses a different modulation, which is more, I guess you'd say, power efficient. But there was a change in Utah County. The East Bench site was turned down in power to basically balance out an interference problem that we were having at that site. And we've been waiting for equipment to come in so that we can go find that interference. It's a very difficult interference problem. It's something that's on the tower that is ringing, basically retranslating, you know, a frequency and rebroadcasting it and then interfering. And so the East Bench site was turned down. The East Bench site is like it sounds, up on the east bench of the valley there. And it went down quite a bit in power. I want to say 6 dB, which would be believe what, 8X, 4X in power. So it went down quite a bit, but that was to balance it out. The interference was essentially causing descents on the input side, so we needed to balance out the transmit side. That equipment has arrived, and we're on site today basically trying to work out what piece on the tower is ringing. And we'll restore power once we figure out what's ringing.
Okay. Is the East Bench site also part of the Utah County simulcast? Because down in at UVU campus, I didn't think it was. So I'm just curious, did anything change with the Utah County simulcast locations or power? Okay. Nothing.
Nope, just all East right. Bench.
Cool.
Brian,
thanks for the update.
If you have specific situations, dates, times, radios, and that, if you'll submit tickets, then that would be helpful to us, so that maybe we have an issue we are not aware of, right? So
that, yeah, that's fine. I just I'll you know, if there's any continued documented instances of that, I'll make sure we open a ticket. Thank you.
Did you have a ticket open?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks. Good question, Brian. Paul Wilding from Beaver. Go ahead.
Good morning. Hey, Phil. It was nice seeing you last week. Anyway, that's not why I was ringing in here. But this question is more for Garfield County than it is for me, because things are working fine over here on this side of the mountain. But it seems like in Garfield County, they're not. So my sheriff just asked me here about an hour or so ago. He says, well, when Sheriff Houston is over here on this side of the mountain, over here in Beaver and I-15, his radio works wonderfully. He can hear everybody great. But anyways, over there, he can't hear anybody as well. And he was asking me, why is that the case?
We're actually working on that. We actually have a site visit to go out and ride along with them in a couple of weeks. Bill and I are going to go out there and one of our techs. So we do know there's we have an issue, and that the Garfield guys can hear. If they're in Iron County and Beaver County, it's clear as a bell and they love it and they say that it's the greatest system ever. And then when they're in Panguitch, they have some garbled issues. So we're on top of it. We don't know yet why it's happening. We've looked at the backhaul. Is it something with the backhaul or site related? So we're on top of it. You can let your sheriff know. We definitely have been in communication with Sheriff Houston and are planning to go there.
All right. And our Jack's Peak site is working wonderfully. So been way out west in the western part of our county, and it's working in places I didn't think it was supposed to work, but it's working great. So love it. Thank you.
Good news. Thank you. Hey, are there any other questions, specific questions, before we get into our update? Okay, I'll look.
One
Let's start with
question.
Melanie. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Sorry, I couldn't find the
You're
mute
good.
button. This is Nick
Okay.
from Murray Fire.
Yeah.
We've had the Beon turned on for our radios for Wi-Fi programming. Is that the same? Do we need to make any adjustments if we want to kind of do some trial runs with LTE SIM card stuff, or is that going to be a separate request for Beon?
So you'd have to do a separate request because we do have to modify it for LTE. It's the same as doing it for Wi-Fi, but they work on two different systems. So yeah, so we'd have to add another system for that.
Okay, copy that. Thanks.
Good question. Thank you. Any other customer questions before we get started? Okay, Melanie, do you want to go with the 911 update?
Sure thing. Since last call, the 8.5 update to VESTA 911 has been completed at all the PSAPs. This enables the single sign-on to access both VESTA 911 and Command Central. We continue to work through the Assist for 911 applications and Vera implementations. The go-live date for the transition from ECATS Analytics to Rapid Deploy Eclipse Analytics is on schedule for May 1st. And reminder that historical data from ECATS from January 2025 to April 2026 will be included in the Eclipse package. We're currently waiting on devices to be installed at the host locations so data acquisitions can begin. UCA has started to do training in the Rapid Deploys Academy that they've got set up. And this training will focus on core logic and data workflows. And we will provide you updates as we move through and progress through that project. As mentioned before, the aware map that you currently have with VESTA will transition to the new mapping platform called Rapid Deploy Radius. UCA is completing both the end user and administrative training within the Rapid Deploy Academy. This platform also requires device installation, which should be completed soon. We have provided Rapid Deploy with geofence data, and that has been submitted to Apple and Google to enable supplemental device location services. And Weber 911 will be performing a pilot on this product, and we will share updates as this project progresses as well. UCA continues to plan the interoperability tabletop exercise for all PSAPs and dispatch centers on the statewide ANGI 911 system and P25 radio system in coordination with the PSAP Advisory Committee, CISA, and the state DEM. Again, this exercise is scheduled for May 13th, and we have a location at the Utah DEM building in Taylorsville that we will have that training. That's all I've got for today. Does anyone have any questions for me? Great, thank you.
Thanks, Melanie. Garrett, do you have any updates for us?
No updates for me.
Okay, Dan?
Yeah, good afternoon. The only update I have is on the BDA systems that are going in. We're currently working on an updated standard. I think I mentioned this the last time, but we should have some information regarding those installations for in-building coverage in the very near future. So keep an eye out for the newsletter.
Thanks, Dan. Chris, do you have anything? This is actually in training, so he might not be able to actively talk. Bill, do you want to go ahead with your update?
Sure. So we talked quite a bit about phase one. If any of you haven't received the newsletter and would like to, we're happy to send that out to you folks individually. Maybe we could even post it in the chat here. I'm not sure. I don't think there's anything limiting us from that. I would say the system in general tickets are down. We don't have a lot of tickets that are coming in regarding, coverage or missing audio and some of the things that we've seen in the past. We're continuing to monitor sites for all sorts of issues from interference to hardware failures, that sort of thing. And along those lines, we're actually in burn-in with L3Harris. So that's kind of like the second to last step before L3Harris is done with the project. We still have system acceptance to go and still have open items with them for system acceptance, but we're definitely in the wrapping up stages of the project, and things are working pretty well. That's my update. Any questions?
Okay, awesome. Emily, I was just going to touch on three things really quick. I'm going to share my screen. So at our governing board meeting, are you guys seeing? Yeah. At our governing board meeting, our board approved for us to purchase a Motorola Radio Manager. So we will be deploying that. Essentially, it will allow us to send programming changes, templates, firmware updates over to the radios, and then your agencies will plug them into a box. These are for Motorola radios only. They plug them into a box that we will build and have available for agencies to borrow. If you have Motorola radios and you're interested in purchasing one of these, so you can continue to have it at your stations, then that will be possible too. We'll be sending out a newsletter on how one of these boxes or multiple of these boxes can be purchased by agencies. But it will allow for up to 5 radios to be plugged in at a time. This way, it will allow you guys to complete programming of radios, updating code plugs, or updating firmware at a time that's convenient for the officers or firefighters. So you don't have to schedule it with us and have us come out at a certain block of hours, call everyone in from overtime and potentially miss radios. You can kind of see, hopefully this is big enough, you can see on the screen, you can see where we can see when we push a job, the job status. All of these radios have been pushed a job, and it's just waiting for the device to be plugged in. So we will know when we send out a job and when your officers or firefighters have accepted the job. And so we think that this is going to help us help you, help us, kind of thing. I think it'd be a big win-win. I think it will save a ton of money for you guys. And I think that it will also save on potential errors and code plugs and things like that. So as you guys know, with Motorola radios, it's a huge hassle because every Motorola radio, you can have 50 radios, all the same model, but if they have different flash code versions, then they need a different code plug version. And so that can be really confusing and really time consuming and things like that. So we think that this is going to be a real win-win for everyone and save a lot of money and time and headache. So we're really excited about this. As we organize ourselves internally, we've issued the PO. We don't have a signed contract with them, but we have made it known to Motorola that it is a priority. So as we go through this process and get our established process in place, we'll send out a newsletter on it and go through that. We've also reached out to Harris. We have a demo next week for what they call device management. That's not the full name, but essentially it's the same thing as this, but for L3H radios. So we'll be looking to purchase something like that so we can do something similar with the L3H radios. I think it will be helpful to us. As you guys have heard us say for years now, please update your firmware, update your firmware. We still run into radios where they're six, seven versions behind on firmware, and it does make a difference. The other big thing is the tuning of the radios. We've said, you know, for years, you need to tune your radios. That doesn't mean just old radios. That means all radios, even radios that just come, they are brand new. By the time they're shipped and received by the end user, there's been a lot of bouncing around, and there's a high probability the radio could become being not in tune with where it needs to be. And so a really good practice would be to tune any radio before you even put it on the system. We talked to an agency outside of the state that requires all radios to be tuned before they're even put into use. And I think that it's actually a good practice. We purchased 4 tuning machines. We'll be putting something out on those also. We'll allow agencies to borrow those for free. Rent them essentially at zero cost to tune their radios and go through a training. It's very, very easy to do. It just takes time, but it's well worth it. We've seen a lot of benefits from tuning radios. The only other update I would say, pardon the all of these texts, this is our new building we're looking at, as you guys know. The only thing I would also just bring up is where we're at on some of our expansion sites. If you guys haven't heard, these are the expansion sites we're currently working on. Clay Hills should be done and online probably in the next 2 weeks. And then all of the rest of these, with the exception of really Navajo Mountain, are in progress in some form or another, whether it's just a co-location agreement or we've ordered parts and things like that. The other thing we have received are our outdoor BDA that we are going to be testing in American Fork Canyon. That will also happen in about the next 2 weeks. And we are obviously very hopeful that it will work the way that they have advertised that it will. And if that's the case, it will be a real big game changer for us in terms of being able to cover small areas where we have limited or no coverage. That doesn't really make sense to deploy an entire site for. So these cost about $30,000 versus, you know, almost $1 million for a site. So we're very, very hopeful that that's going to be a thing and that they're going to be a success. And so we're really excited. Let's see, what are the questions? Let's see. Let's see, Joy Stocking. This is great. Will you ever have a similar box for L3H radios? Phil, correct me if I'm wrong, but we won't need a box per se for the L3H, or we will need a box?
So the way they do it is they have, like, it's a, on the, how do I say, on the server side, it's a cloud product and not a, not an on-prem solution, which, you still have to log in, I believe, through a web portal, but basically I think a PC becomes the box. So there may be PCs involved, but I'm not completely certain. We're not that far down the road with them on their particular product. The offering that they have,
it won't be a box. I mean, you'll be accessing a website and use the device manager that's currently on all the radios to access the updates that would be pushed to the individual radios. I foresee everybody would be using Wi-Fi to get to that web portal or LTE.
So we may supply it as a box, Joey, depending on what it is, because sometimes getting through people's Wi-Fi firewalls is actually the bigger mm-hmm. hurdle with these types of solutions. So it may be that we provide it as a box or not, but we're not that far down the road, so.
Yeah, we'll definitely have, you know, some training in that, just like we will on the Motorola side, once we determine if we're able to purchase it, when we're able to purchase it, and things like that. Like Phil's pointing out, we haven't even had a demo yet. So we will see it next Wednesday and then have a lot more information. But our plan is to do something similar for the L3H radios, given that we do have about 12,000 of them in the state. So definitely want to make it you know, a similarly easy process and reliable process. As far as the firmware, we do post on our website when we what the current version of firmware is that we're recommending based on the brand of a radio you have. We probably, if I'm being fair, I should probably send out a newsletter when we do update that, so that it is obvious, so you're not always having to go and search it out and look at our website to see if you're out of date on your firmware. So it is posted though. Garrett, can you just remind everyone on the call where we're at on each brand of radio right now?
Yeah, so for L3H, we are at R20. Motorola is R36.01. Kenwood, I'm not as sure about, but it's like R40. If you give me a second, I can jump on our website.
Okay. And so as far as the firmware updates, while he's looking that up, it is your responsibility, the agency's responsibility to update those. You right now, you know, I would say the old fashioned way now that we've purchased Radio Manager, but the way you do it now is with a cable that you can purchase through Amazon for very cheap and then download it. Bill or Dan or Garrett can get into the details on that, but it's definitely something that is on the user, the agency to do for now. Paul, do you have a question?
I do. Here back in 23 or 24, I took advantage and bought a whole bunch of Harris radios on a greatly discounted rate, as you're aware of, Tina, and everyone else. I'm just curious, is there going to be a plan to implement this sometime in the future, 5 years down the road or something like this, do this again to replace radios that may be in near end of life or so on and so forth?
The money that was used to purchase all of those radios and give the agency such a special deal was ARPA funding that was acquired through the legislature. So it had nothing to do with UCA. UCA was just the pass-through for it and had to manage all of it. So, I mean, that would be something that, you know, the locals, meaning the local agencies, state agencies, would have to lobby the legislature for. You know, I don't know if there's ever going to be a day where there's, you know, as much ARPA money that was available back in the day. But, you know, it's not something that I would say UCA is going to be pursuing. I would say that it would definitely have to come from the locals to get, funding provided to them. What I would say too, and it doesn't probably really help Beaver, but I think that, you know, as it gets closer to the Olympics, I think there will probably be some Olympic money for probably could be, you know, potentially looked into for on behalf of agencies that are, you know, associated with venues for the Olympics and that. So I but other than that, Paul, I don't know of any that's coming down the pipe or that would be necessarily available. It was an amazing deal though for you guys.
Yeah, helped us out a lot here in our rural county, class 5 county. Thank you.
So the Kenwood firmware is 8.40.20, and we can get you the files. We just can't load it for you. So if you need the latest updates, just submit a ticket, and we can get you access to those updates.
Thanks for that clarification, Garrett. Brian, go ahead.
Hey, what's the easiest way to, you know, find out if our radios need to be upgraded in terms of firmware versions?
Garrett, you want to go ahead with that?
What you have the L3H radios?
I believe so.
So for the XL200s, XL185s, it's in the menu.
Okay, we would just have to spot check. It's not like there's a central managed location. I mean, I'm just curious to you know what other agencies are doing or what other organizations are doing as far as just keeping up on that. You keep a spreadsheet.
A lot of them are just keeping spreadsheets on their own.
I'm sitting with a programmer here in St. George. Do you need me to tell you how to see the firmware in L3 Harris radios?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, okay. Let us pull up our... Phil, do you want to dump our old newsletter that talks about that document, the PowerPoint that you put together, into the chat for him so he can look at that or refer to that depending on if he has, okay, there you go.
200 or a 185?
Or we don't even know if he doesn't have motos.
Yeah, so one way to do this is, like, we show you how to do this through the ticketing system. So I'll just run you through that. So if you didn't see, I clicked on report radio coverage issue. I clicked the right one. Then you just enter your name and whatnot. And as you're getting in here, I'm going to have to fill all this out real quickly. One second. So once you get to this, third page right here, you can click on this how to find firmware version, and then it gives you instructions on how to do that. I'm going to go ahead and dump that link in the chat so that you folks can just get to it later.
Awesome.
But this tells you how to find your radio firmware version. If you're interested in finding out what your radio ID is, which is often asked when troubleshooting, then these are the instructions on how to do that. And also, we have instructions on how to find your signal strength for both brands of radios as well right here. So this is kind of a one-stop shop. We also have a newsletter that basically just has those five slides. And we can send that out.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep, no problem.
Thanks, Phil. Joey, go ahead.
I was just going to say, because we had troubles with this where we thought we updated everything and then we didn't and whatnot. So we actually made like a custom, what do they call it? The boot screen, or what do they call that? Does anybody remember the name of that? But the screen that comes up when you first turn it on instead of the default L3Harris one, and we would put the firmware version in that. So every time we did an update of the firmware, we changed that screensaver thing or whatever it is so that you knew.
Splash screen, yeah.
Thank you. So you knew immediately what it was and if it had been updated or not.
Good, great idea.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion.
Thanks, Joey. Appreciate that. I think those are the updates we have for you guys. Does anyone have any other questions?
Yeah, Tina, I've just one question for updating the firmware on the L3s, and maybe this is more a Garrett question, but do we need to update the CCM module on the Wi-Fi part? And I know, as I say, there's all sorts of issues with firewalls and stuff, but is that one thing that sort of helps if we standardize updating that CCM module on the L3s if we're going to push out either programming or firmware updates?
I've had agencies that have talked to L3H about firmware updates, and they usually recommend updating the CCM as well. So if you're going to update the firmware, you might as well update the firmware on everything.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Good question. Thanks, Seamus.
So I'll add something to that. So one of the big focus areas for L3H, and Deb can probably back me up on this, has been the roaming between like LTE and LMR and Wi-Fi and LMR and Wi-Fi to LTE and all the reverse of those as well. And so they're changing code on the radio side of things. And I would guess that the CCM has to stay in lockstep with that for it to function properly. I would think that, just, you know, knowing how radios work with APIs and interfaces and whatnot, you would want those to stay in sync as an engineer.
Thanks, Phil.
Awesome. Thanks, Phil. Okay. Are there any other comments or questions for us?
I do have one more question. So just wondering if there's, I don't know how to ask this. We're trying to do our tactical interoperability communication plan with our neighboring counties. And we've come across issues where there's all kinds of talk groups that exist, but we don't exactly know like what they're supposed to be used for. And then some of like the old documentation that UCA said, you know, that like, what was it? Ops were changing to TAC channels and things like that. It seems like some of that changed and some of it didn't, and some of those talk groups exist. Anyways, I guess my question is there any kind of documentation that as you guys were updating talk groups that that maybe the PSAPs listed out what they plan to use that channel for, or anything like that?
Yeah, there is documentation. Sorry, Tina, do you want to take that? No,
nope, I was just gonna hand it to. I was trying to decide who I was gonna hand it to. So
if you've got
go
the
ahead.
Slides, we need to find Mike V's old slides from basically the days before cutover. But it talks about, you know, what changed from what names to the new names, and then it also talked about the different areas in their interoperability channels. So being a bit unprepared, I got to go find the slides, but we can probably find them here.
I'm looking for them as well.
Are you talking about the 2024 November UCA stakeholder newsletter December combined document? It's what mine is called.
I don't think so. No, this would have been something we met with each PSAP before cutover to make sure everybody was ready.
Never mind. That was a different
Mike
one.
Mike B had a set of slides that he gave.
Phil, I think I. Okay, you found it?
No, that was somebody else.
Oh. Joey, let us look for it, and then Bill or Dan or Garrett, someone will get that to you, okay?
Okay, I think I know which document you guys are talking about, but yeah, I'll follow up later.
Okay, yeah, we have it. Just we weren't prepared for that question, so just don't have it at our fingertips. So let us look for that and get it out to you.
Okay.
Great questions. Thanks for all the interaction today. It's been great. Lieutenant Aldridge, I saw the sheriff yesterday. He said that you guys got Starlink up and running and you love it. You have zero dead spots.
No, it's a game changer for us with all of our federal land down here. Our guys are loving it. They can go anywhere out in the monument, out just, you know, middle of nowhere, and they got coverage. So it's a game changer for us. And so we're loving it. It's working great for us.
Good job. That's
Those are with your L3 Harris radios.
Yeah, those are on the Harris radios. So yeah, cool. It's working great.
Cool. Just a quick thing. I'm getting an echo on my voice. Can you guys hear me still?
Yeah, go ahead. I muted Lieutenant Aldridge just for a minute. Go ahead.
Okay, sorry. I just was going to point out that the CCM module updates are separate from our firmware updates, and they don't always coincide exactly. They don't come out nearly as often as a firmware update will come out. Just wanted to clarify that.
But I have a follow-up then. There should be a recommended CCM version for a recommended set of radio firmwares. So I think we probably ought to get that as a group.
Okay, I'll work on that.
Thanks.
I'm not familiar with what the CCM. That's a new term to me. What is that?
It's essentially the LTE module.
Oh, so if we're not using the LTE module, then it's not a real big deal for me.
Probably not. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know of any agencies that are using LTE yet. There may be some coming, but I'm not aware of anybody using LTE yet.
I think Garrett mentioned that the L3 Harris radio is the firmware that you guys are recommending is at 20. I think I'm installing 22. Is that a problem?
Garrett?
it hasn't affected it. Our radios seem to be working, but I think I'm installing 22.
It's not a problem. It's just R20 is the last one that we didn't know was working. Everything that's been recently released, we haven't installed on radios. We haven't tested. So the recommended is just the last one that we know is working. New radios will come with later firmware than what we've already tested. So if you're updating to 22, that's fine. Just know that we haven't tested it. And so if something is going on that after you update, we may not be able to help you. But it should be fine.
Alan, I'm like you. I've been installing 22 also.
Same for Grand Wave 22.
Hey, well, you know what I love the most about all this is you guys are all over updating your firmware. That's amazing. So kudos to all of you guys. So that's great. Okay. Sounds like good news on a lot of fronts. Oh, go ahead, Bill.
I found the slides.
Oh, great.
If we're interested.
Yeah, for sure. Let's hit it.
Okay. So Joey, this is the, these are the new regional talk groups versus the old. I'll just keep it up for a second. And we can send this. This is not anything new. And again, I'm not Mike V, so I probably can't give this line by line as to you know what the presentation was back then. But here are the different regionalized talk groups.
We did switch the regions to the Homeland Security regions from what we had originally had them as, I think.
Well, kind of. Not really. So, like, our northern region is a combination of Bear River and Wasatch together.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, in fact, that was one of our discussion points is we wished it did follow the Homeland Security region. But at least it is close enough that we can do two regions together and kind of
make it work. A little bit closer than what it was, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, because that was what I'd always been told before, even before I got to UCA, I thought that was the discussion that it was going to be based on the Homeland Security region. So that is definitely news that it's not.
And then this last slide on the topic, event channels or county interoperability ops are PSAP or agency interoperability. Law, obviously PSAP or agency specific, fire, same thing. Car to car, agency and discipline specific. In other words, you could have a detective channel. Specialty would be for any specific agency, drug, SWAT, NARC, BFAST, task force, et cetera.
Okay. Yeah, that sort of helps. Trying to think of like a specific question to actually ask.
I think it would be worth getting with some of your neighbors just to ask them what talk groups they're using too. And
yeah, like having like the BR, well, for me, for my region, BR TAC channels is awesome. That's helpful. I wish we had another five of them instead of just the five. But like I know one was like the BR HOSP channels that I guess exist, but it sounds like nobody really has them programmed in, or very few do. And so, like, I guess was that kind of is there a document that kind of explains like that should be in every hospital or clinic in the Bear River region or something like that is kind of what I'm looking for.
No, yeah, I don't think so. I don't think we dictate that. And therefore we don't have, you know, I think even these are sort of suggestions, and we tried to, you know, set it up where we thought that, you know, it would serve the most number of people. But at the end of the day, like operationally, how agencies use channels and how they interact with their neighbors is kind of their choice. And so, yeah, I don't know that we have, like a whole statewide plan of who talks to who over what channel.
Yeah, for sure.
So, well, then I guess at the very least, well, and I guess I do have an updated fleet map, I think, that has every talk group that's available, that then we could go through with our neighboring counties and just say, hey, let's make a plan for this channel when it might be used. Does that seem like the route to go?
Well, I mean, it's easy for us to produce a list of like what talk groups are on a neighboring PSAP's console. So that's maybe a spot to start.
That would really help.
Yeah, we could. I think we could provide that.
Okay.
Any issues with that, Tina?
No, I don't have any issues with that. I would say that Garrett knows, like, if you came back and said, hey, we want to program all of these neighboring agency radio or talk groups in our radios, Garrett will come back and say you have to have letters of authorization. There's some that, for obvious reasons, we want the chiefs or agency head to give permission, especially when they're encrypted and things like that. It's just part of the, you know, talk group integrity that we've committed to that got away from us on our old system, I would say. So.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yep. I understand.
But to know what they are is, yeah, not a problem. So it might be helpful in your planning and starting a conversation with your neighbors. So.
Yeah, like we've been, one of the other ones I just remembered was our EOC channels. We've been trying to figure those out because I don't know. But I guess as long as we know what talk groups are available, then we can kind of take it from there. And what talk groups are available to who, like meaning, well, but see, not necessarily for a PSAP because our EOCs are operated differently. Independent of PSAPs is the plan. So anyways, just, I don't know. If you have any suggestions on how we could figure this out, we're all ears.
Well, if you're talking about talk groups within your county, Garrett can definitely send that list, you know, because anything that's available or other than like what Phil just went over, the TAC and the basic ones, the events and that, those are all... we created those and gave each region a certain subset of those, but everything else that's created has been asked to be created by the agencies. So, Bill pointed out earlier, it's we don't dictate who has what or what they've asked for. If they've asked for a talk group, we've created it for them, basically.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, but it's mostly more for not just my county, but for the Homeland Security region that I'm in, the Northern region, what's available in that. And then going along with that is also our interop with the state. Like with DEM, we've ran into some issues because there's three different state EOC channels and we don't know when we're expected to use them and when we're not. I guess it's
I feel like there's that's probably a Scott's, Scott Saunders question. I would assume he has a document on when you should be using the DEM channels. I'm assuming he has a written plan for that.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks for all the questions. All right. If anyone else has any other questions, if not, we appreciate everyone's time and certainly the communication. Appreciate all the questions and comments and that. So appreciate you guys taking time out of your busy days to meet up with us. So thank you.
Thank you.